turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to be in verses 10 to 13. And if you don't have a Bible, that's okay. There are Bibles there. If you look down in front of you, and you can pull that out and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. As we jump back into our study in the book of Ephesians, as we're in the last chapter here, not too long to go, but it's crazy to think that this is the last Sunday of 2025. Who in here thinks it went really fast? All right, who in here thinks it went really slow? I'm glad. Yeah, I think most of us think, man, it went really fast. And so here we are on the last Sunday in 2025. But it's sad to think about, but there are many people who walk away from the faith. In recent years, there have been actually well-known Christians who say that they no longer believe. Some of you may remember Joshua Harris. He wrote the book, I Kiss Dating Goodbye, and he declared that he was no longer a Christian. And a Christian songwriter and also a lead vocalist in a Christian band both declared that they no longer believe. A Christian college professor likewise stated he was no longer a Christian. But tragically, those well-known figures aren't the only ones who walk away from the faith and no longer say that they're a Christian. Many ordinary people no longer hold to the faith that they once believed in. A good-sized chunk of Americans say that they no longer believe in or follow the faith that they were raised in. And the reasons that they gave were this. According to Pew Research, they say, I stopped believing in the religion's teachings. It just wasn't important to my life. And thirdly, I just gradually drifted away. When you think about those people, obviously we can say that they did not stand firm in their faith. And those are examples of the people we know about. Of course, there's many other that I'm sure that we don't even know about who don't stand firm in the faith. Some people get caught in sin and they absolutely ruin their lives. Others may continue going to church, but in reality, they have sort of checked out spiritually. And still others may look spiritually mature, but they're in love with the world. There's a great need for professing Christians to stand firm in the faith because here's the thing, you don't know what's going to happen next year. You don't know what's going to happen beyond next year. You don't know the temptations to come. You don't know the trials that are on their way. You don't know the changing circumstances and cultural pressures there may be. A couple decades ago, I doubt Christians were thinking about some of the stuff that we face now, with whether it be sexuality or gender things or all these different things, and yet here we are. And so the question is, what will we need to stand firm amidst the onslaught of doubt and pressure and temptation to come? What will you need to not be moved? Well, our generation is not the first generation to face this, of course. Generations of Christians of all time, of every location, have been in the same battle, and they have had the same need to stand firm. Listen to what Paul says to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Here in Ephesians, Paul has been recounting the work of Christ. Well, what Christ has done in their lives, the blessings they have in him. And then he went on to talk about, okay, now how do you live in light of all this amazing truth? And here is his last instruction for the Ephesians, but also for us, before he wraps up. And he wants to draw our attention to it. He says, finally. And he's showing us that finally, this is the last instruction, but also do not overlook this. This is so important because this text will really affect every area of your life. And he wants to draw attention to it. As we seek to live through the Lord, we need this. And so we need to stand firm, and he expands upon why and how. And so first, the why. Number one, stand firm, for our enemy is strong. Stand firm, for our enemy is strong. Years ago, Kate and I went to the Pennsylvania Grand Canyon, and what's there is the Turkey Path. And so it's this path, it's 1 mile long path, but it takes you from the top of the canyon and it takes you all the way down 750 feet to the canyon floor. And so it can be difficult. It's just pretty steep trail. Now, Kate and I are younger, and so we came prepared, and so we were okay on the trail. But as we were coming back up this trail, we saw people totally unprepared for what was to come. They were hiking down this trail, and some of the women had wedge shoes on, and they were pushing this umbrella stroller. If you've ever seen an umbrella stroller, it's one of those lightweight, compact strollers. It's not made to go on hiking trails. And so needless to say, these people were not prepared for the hike. They were not prepared to descend 750 feet down a steep 1 mile trail. They didn't have what they needed to succeed. What they had would lead them to struggle, and to struggle badly. Now, I don't know exactly why they decided to go ahead and take that trip down, and I'm not sure exactly what happened, but my guess is they probably at some point gave up and turned back and went back up to the top, and because they weren't prepared for the hardness of the hike. Maybe they thought it would be easier. Maybe they were completely unaware of the hazardous trail conditions. But either way, they weren't ready to endure it. And likewise, in order to stand firm and endure the hardships of the Christian life, you have to be prepared. You have to be prepared. You cannot be unprepared and expect to succeed. You cannot be unaware of the danger and assume, like, oh, okay, everything's going to go well. There's a reason why Paul emphasizes standing firm. Stand, he says. Stand firm, he says. He uses this imagery of armor, of wrestling. Right? He's showing us the Christian life won't always be easy. In fact, in many cases, it's hard. It's difficult. It's strenuous. And unfortunately, many professing Christians go through life totally unprepared to stand firm in the faith. I was once talking to someone who was so excited about following the Lord, and that's a great thing. But they said something like this to me. They said, now that I'm doing things God's way, my life is just going so smooth, and my work is going so smooth, and what I got from them was this idea of, this is what life's going to be for the rest of my life. And to be honest, I was concerned. And I even, you know, shared some things in love, of course, with them. Of course, I was happy. You know, I want you to do things God's way. We should. I want you to be happy about the things of the Lord. But I was also concerned because you have to be prepared for the hardness of the Christian life. You have to. Because if you're only thinking the Christian life is all smooth, you're going to be utterly wrecked when something hard happens. And the truth is, now I see that this person went through the trials and has strained their faith. Likewise, I've seen many people who are on an emotional high. And so an emotional high, they start attending church, they get excited about the things of the Bible, but when ordinary life hits, when the mundane of the Christian life ensues, when things get high and that emotional high is gone, they walk away. The Christian life cannot be lived on a sugar high of emotion. It has to be lived out with a preparedness for battle. It has to. Because so many are unprepared. others may be misinformed or still others may be distracted by the things of this world. There are some who are sitting in cruise control because they are relying on the faith of their past to get them through the trials of today. But it will not do. Paul squashes all of those mentalities by showing us you must be prepared to stand firm. There are things you need to stand firm. Think about that idea of standing or standing firm. Sometimes in the wintertime, there's this huge pile of snow because, they plow the snow into one pile. And as a kid, we would always play King of the Hill. Anyone else remember King of the Hill? Or maybe you still play it. I don't know. As an adult, maybe you still play it. But you play the King of the Hill. And so the goal is you try to make to the top. And then the person on top tries to stand firm, right? Remain there. And so you're trying to push kids down, right? And you're trying to stay on that top of the hill. And so you had to oppose them and from trying to topple you down. And it took endurance and focus to withstand the onslaught of your fellow classmates, right? It took that. That's a little like the imagery here. As Christians, we have to stand firm and withstand the onslaughts of the enemy. So what does it mean to stand firm? Because obviously, Paul isn't talking physically here. He's not talking about being like King of the Hill and pushing your classmates down. He's talking about spiritual standing firm, meaning standing firm in the faith. It means persevering amidst the hardships of life and still living for the Lord. The most extreme version of not standing firm is, of course, completely walking away from the faith altogether. And as I mentioned, there are people who do this. But for others, there's even could be a temporary not standing firm. There are some who give in to temptation and they let it have this stronghold on them in their life. Others do not stand firm, but they drift doctrinally into error. Some give in to fear or despair. And it gets to them. They become angry with God. They become extremely doubtful of Him. Likewise, some are just so focused on the worldly things that the spiritual disciplines are non-existent in their lives. But Paul is reminding us here, stand. Stand firm. You cannot let these things happen to you in your life. But thankfully, the thing is, this isn't exactly like King of the Hill. And what I mean by that is, we do not need to conquer the hill. We need to stand on the hill that has been conquered by Christ. He has won the victory. He has come and been born in this world. He lived a perfect life for us. He then died for our sins and He rose again and He conquered Satan's sin and death. And so He has won the victory. We have been raised up and seated in the heavenly places. Paul earlier says He sits far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And so the truth is, we don't fight as if we're worried that we're not going to win. But we fight that a battle that is still raging, but we do it out of a place of victory, that Christ has won the victory. So the devil lost, but him and his minions, so to say, are still struggling against us. It's sort of like when it's all over, right? It's like when that blowout win or something, it's essentially over, but the time hasn't run out. They're up by 50 points and yet there's a minute left. It's over, but the other team is still battling. Well, that's somewhat like the devil and Christ is, that Christ has decisively won the victory, but the devil's going down fighting. He's going down swinging. And so we don't fight because we're worried that we won't win. We fight out of a place of victory. Our side is not at risk for defeat, and we praise God. But the truth is, that doesn't mean that Satan is idle. We know he's still prowling around like a lion, like a roaring lion. He's still at work in the world. And the truth is, though Satan has decisively lost, he's going to try to take as many of us out on his way down. But we stand on the side of victory, so rejoice. And so our key is that we have to remain firm on what Christ has accomplished. We remain firm in our identity in him, because he has already won the victory, and we stand firm upon what he has done. And so we seek to be faithful and obedient and loyal to our King Jesus. We endure in faith. We don't let sin draw us to the side. We don't become shaken, but firm in the faith, on the truth. We don't lose confidence, but we are assured in Christ. And so, Christian, there is a battle going on, but it is not a physical battle. It is a spiritual one, Paul says. Notice what Paul says. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That's like humanity, right? Your humanity. We don't fight against other humans, but what does he say? Against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now, first you might think, how do we not fight against or wrestle against flesh and blood? Look at around us, and you can say there's people just totally against Christianity, against Christians and God, and there's certainly people like that. Paul faced persecutors, human persecutors. He was fully aware of that reality. And so what is Paul saying here then? Paul is really pointing to the ultimate real battle going on behind everything. And so, yes, there are humans involved, because we do face, or there's some Christians, especially in other countries, face physical persecution. But what Paul is saying is ultimately there is a force behind what you see. Behind the physical realities, there are spiritual force, dark forces at work. Our real enemy and the ultimate enemy are dark spiritual forces in the world. These rulers, authorities, powers, and forces are talking about the evil spiritual beings that the devil is sort of over. And many people do not believe in this stuff, but it's reality. The Bible shows us. Jesus goes in his gospel, in the Gospels, and he's what? Casting out demons. This is real. Though we may not see it, it's real. And they have a certain power in this world. Notice, rulers, authorities, powers, they have a certain power in the world. They make use of this power. And so sometimes, you know, we know that that men and women are sinful, and so they do horrific things, and we know that. But did you ever have that moment where you're like, there seems to be something even darker behind this? Like, it just feels like there's something darker, more evil, and it's pointing to this reality. Because there is something evil and dark behind what's going on. The devil is at work in the world. He is said in the Bible to be the deceiver of the whole world. He has said in 1 John that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And so mankind's sinfulness is bad in itself. But what the devil does is he makes it even worse. Because what he does is he tempts and influences and blinds and deceives and ensnares people. He takes advantage of people's weaknesses. He uses culture and media and powerful institutions and things like that, and so much more. And there's probably a lot more wickedness in the world going on due to this devil's influence that we just probably don't even make the connection. And so what Paul is showing us is that as Christians, we are actually in a cosmic spiritual battle. But what's encouraging about this battle reminds us of whose side we're on. Because if we're wrestling against the devil and his demons, what does that show? We're on the Lord's side and we're not on Satan's side. Ephesians 2:2 said that we were once following the prince of the power of the air, but now, instead of following him, what is Paul showing us? We're wrestling against him. There's a battle. We're no longer on the same side because of Christ. We've been liberated from that enslavement to the devil, and now we're on the Lord's side. And I think of that one hymn that goes, who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for him will go? By thy call of mercy, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are thine. Stand firm, fellow believers, for our enemy is strong. But in confidence, remember, we're on the Lord's side. We're on the victory side. And here's the thing. The Lord gives those on his side exactly what they need. And that's what we see in point number two. Stand firm by being strengthened in the Lord and with his armor. And so when you think about the devil and his evil spiritual forces, it can be daunting. To think about all the damage that he has done is overwhelming at times. I mean, you just look at our world and you see something like common sense out the window, and you're thinking there's something more going on here. And you see some of the things that are being attacked, and you're thinking there's something going on here. And it can feel overwhelming because you sort of are seeing the devil's handiwork on display at times. And it can feel like we're in a losing battle, not a winning one. And so the question is, though, what do we need to withstand the schemes of the devil? What do we need in the new year? What do we need beyond the new year? Some people think, I just need some new tips and tricks for the new year, some hacks, right? I'll be good to go in my spiritual walk if I just get some neat tips and tricks. Others believe, I just need to try harder, right? I just need to roll up my sleeves and I just need to put in so much effort and I'll be good to go. Some are looking for that emotional, spiritual high, and so they seek out that next high to get them through the lows. And there's some even who think that they don't even need anything. They just sit in cruise control and think, okay, that's going to get me through another year. But God's word here shows us that we truly need the Lord. And we need the strength and the equipment that he gives us. Notice what Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Notice how he says, be strong in the Lord, meaning it's implying that in ourselves we're weak. We need to be strong in the Lord. Though our world may keep trying to tell you that you're strong in yourself, the Bible aligns us reality and says, you're weak, but guess what? God's strong. You're weak, but God is strong. This word translated as be strong is a passive verb. It's showing we receive strength from the Lord, meaning it's really be strengthened in the Lord, that you're being strengthened by the Lord. Satan and his dark forces seem daunting. They seem like they're triumphing at times. They do have a certain limited power in this world. But Paul is showing us, you have strength available. You don't have to waver. You don't have to falter. You don't have to fall. You can stand firm in the strength of the Lord. Just consider the mighty strength of God, the earth-creating power of God, the circumstance-changing power of God, the life-giving power of God. It's available for you if you would go to him. Would you go to him for strength? Because every day it seems like is another evidence that I'm weak. And you feel it by the end of the day, you're just zapped, right? Your energy is zapped. You're like, I don't have it. You face a difficult situation at work and you feel like, I don't have the strength and the wisdom to do this. In yourself, you don't. And so that's why the Bible consistently points you to the Lord. Keep going to the Lord for your strength. And a prime way that we can be strong is to put on the armor of God. Because you see, really, he tells us to put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand. And so it's really the armor of God that gives me the power to withstand the schemes of the devil, to stand firm. Notice this is the armor of God. And so, Christian, this armor is not your own personal armor that you bought. It's not your own personal armor that you built. This is the armor of God that God gives you. And so the armor of God is really a gift from God. He gives this as a gift in order to cause us to stand firm because he wants us to stand firm. And so he loves us and wants us to stand firm. And so he says, essentially, I'm going to give you and equip you with what you need to stand firm, Christian. Aren't you thankful God not only graciously saves us, he graciously strengthens us. God doesn't just save you and then say, okay, the rest of your life, you're on your own. He desires for you to stand firm in the faith. And so he has what you need to stand firm. Unlike David, who, remember, he took off Saul's armor because it didn't fit. Unlike him, we put on God's armor. It fits perfectly. You know, whenever I think of this armor, I think about some of those movies where you have these guys, you know, in battles, and they are just head to toe in just armor. They might have some eye slots and different, you know, small slots that are open. But essentially, the whole body is just covered in armor. And I often think, like, how could you beat these guys, right? It's like the whole body is just armor-proof. It's like armored up. Their armor creates a defensive barrier, doesn't it? This barrier between the attacker's weapon and the soldier's flesh is there to protecting them. And that's really what we need, is this God-provided defensive barrier between the devil's weaponry and our hearts and minds. And that's what God gives us. But notice also this armor must be intentionally put on. He says, put it on. Verse 13, take it up. This active, intentional motion. And so this shows us that you can't sit in default mode and think, I'm armored up. You can't. You can't close your eyes spiritually and think, I'm good to go. It doesn't work like that. You have to intentionally determine to put on, take up the armor of God. And so a Christian is a person who doesn't live asleep spiritually, but they're alert and awake to the spiritual dangers around them, and so they look to the Lord. Lord, I'm looking to you for the armor that you give me. I'm looking to you for the protection that I need. And this takes going to the Lord time and time again, relying upon him for what he has given, looking to him to live in the way that he would want. But there's a small word that can be easily overlooked. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. A soldier isn't equipped for battle with only a belt. Of course not. They're not equipped for battle with only a helmet. They need their whole armor to be protected properly. And that's what Paul is showing us. You need the whole armor of God. You can't say, I'm ready to go to battle. I have the belt of truth, but I don't have a shield of faith. It's not going to work. They work together. You can't be missing pieces. You're open to attack if you do. Because what can the devil do? He looks, oh, there's an open, you know, spot right there. I'm just going to attack that. There's a weakness there. I'm going to give a full assault. Amidst these instructions, there's a glorious promise, though, that shines through them all. And it's this. If you utilize God's armor, you will stand firm. Do you realize that? That is what Paul is showing us. If you have the strength of the Lord through the armor of the Lord, you will stand. And it's all a gift of grace. He doesn't say, muster up the strength, buddy. He doesn't say, go search high and low for your own armor. is showing us, no, through grace in Christ and through the Lord's strength and armor, you have what you need. You have what you need, and it's not from within. Because you look within, you feel like, I'm lacking. I'm not strong. I can't do this next year. But the Lord is saying, I have what you need. And you will stand firm if you would put on my armor. What a promise. Strength available for you. But will you go to Him? God's armor is available. Will you put it on? This is showing us that the Lord has what you need to stand against Satan and his forces. You realize that the Lord has what I need. The Lord has what you need to stand firm next year and in years beyond. And so you think about the new year. It's coming up soon, Thursday. The new year, 2026. And the truth is, I don't know what you're going to personally face. I don't know what I'm going to personally face. I don't know what we as a church will face in the new year. I'm sure, as the Bible shows us, the devil will be prowling around like a lion. That's what he does. He's seeking someone to devour. That is, he's trying to find someone to topple them down, to ruin them, to get them caught into sin. He tries to take churches down, that's for sure. I'm sure we've all heard stories of churches brought to ruin because of sin and temptation. And he's going to work through his various beings, right? Temptation and culture and all the other schemes that he uses. And so as you think about this upcoming year, each of us has a great need to stand firm. We do. We each have a great need. We can't just be blind to this need. We can't just sit in cruise control. We can't be unprepared. But we have to realize and remember that we have a great need to stand firm in the faith. And it won't be easy. Paul's showing us it's a battle. There's armor involved. There's wrestling. It's a battle. And so that means our faith will be tested at times. Our faith will be strained. It will be stretched. We might feel assaulted on every side. I'm sure as you dwell upon this past year, I'm sure there's times where you've felt that. Or you think about previous years and it felt like the assaults were just coming from every side and temptation was strong and so much going on. And there's going to be days where you're going to feel your lack of strength. Oh, so acutely you will feel your lack of strength. And we're going to feel like everything's going to try to topple us. But know this, the Lord has what you need to stand firm next year. The Lord has what you need. And all we have to do is even remember what Christ has done. How he came and died for us. And he then rose again. And then they ascended on high. And there he gives us all that we need. He gives us this strength for the day. He gives us this empowerment to serve the Lord. This empowerment to forgive someone even when they're so mean to us. And to think that the one who sent Christ to die and rise again is the one who gives us what we need is astounding. The same power who created the universe. The same power who brought you life. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to us through faith to stand firm against the designs of the devil. And so be strong in the Lord. Put on that armor of God, and in so doing, we will be able to stand firm in 2026. And the truth is, all glory will go to God because He's the one who graciously gives it to us as a gift. Let's pray. Dear good and gracious Heavenly Father, you have given us for those of us who believe in Christ, forgiveness and eternal life. But Lord, you didn't stop there, but in your marvelous grace, You've given us the Holy Spirit as believers. You've given us strength for the day, Lord, and you've given us your armor so that we can stand firm against all the wickedness in this world and all the temptations that we face and all the trials that we endure. You have given us what we need. Lord, help us to look to you through it all and to put on that armor that you have provided in grace. And may it all give you glory as we look to you each and every moment, each and every day. Lord, help us as we now go soon into the new year. Lord, there's a lot of unknowns. But Lord, we know the things that you have revealed to us. And may we stand firm against those things, the things in your word. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. This sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.